John chapter 3 this morning. I'm so excited to share this with you. We're going through the book of John, and we've reached a place where we're going to talk this morning about regeneration. And it's a wonderful thing what God did for us.
Yes. Amen.
And one of the reasons Wednesday night when I was here, I asked, and I'll ask again, just in a way of starting. Some of you were here on Wednesday night, you know. How many people in your lifetime have been approached by a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness to receive their faith? Yeah. Everybody look around. Come on, raise your hand high. You've been accosted or they've knocked on your door. Come on. Look around. Look how many people. I'll put your hands on. Now, how many people have been approached by someone other than a close friend or family member about receiving Jesus Christ? A stranger came to you and said, Jesus, something about the Lord. Now look around. One of the reasons we're not seeing a lot of salvations is not a lot of people out talking about the wonderful thing that Jesus Christ did. It's not just a theory. It's not just a belief that kind of sticks on to what we do religiously. It's a new life that Jesus offers us. And we need to know why, and we need to know how to receive that, also how to talk about that. When somebody, Peter says, if anybody comes and asks you of the hope that's within you, you've got to answer them. We've got to answer about the hope in us, not just something like, well, Jesus loves you and you should get saved. But we need to understand that something miraculous happened to you and I.
Amen.
If you're born again this morning, something miraculous happened to you. It's even on the same level as when God reached down and formed man out of the dust of the earth. It's on that same level as to what He did for us when we said, Jesus, I'm tired of running. Jesus, come into my life, forgive my sin. He created a new being. Come on, somebody. He didn't do it. He didn't form us. He didn't, out of the dust of the earth. He didn't reshape us. We still look the same outside. Except we got a bigger smile on our face. But God does something miraculous inside that we can never change back. We can never go back to the way we were. Not just something God does temporarily, but what God does eternally is He makes us new.
Yeah.
And not only, you know, He's got lots of that in supply.
Hallelujah.
John chapter 3, Nicodemus approaches Jesus by night. Many are talking about why Nick did the things he did. You know, it's either he was busy during the day, and the nighttime is the only time he could meet. He wanted to meet privately with Him, and the only time Jesus could meet, because He was busy during the day, was at night. Or the third reason is Nicodemus didn't want anybody to know he was meeting with Christ. He just wanted to find out, what's this guy all about? Now, whatever theory you go with is fine, but the point is that Nicodemus approached Christ, and there in John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, thanks, Nicodemus. I want to tell you about all the power I have. And what did He do? He said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to Him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to Him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Father, I pray this morning that you would open our eyes to the great gift that's been given us. Lord, this morning that we would revisit what happened to us. Maybe many years ago, just a couple of months ago. But God, what you did for us was such a tremendous miracle. Tremendous thing that happened to us. And Lord, we want others to receive that same thing. Or it's nothing to do with religion. It's nothing to do with a set of rules and regulations. It's a relationship with you, Jesus. It's a relationship with you. Open our eyes and ears in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning about the doctrine of regeneration. Regeneration, positioning of mankind as sons and daughters of God through the death and resurrection of Christ. When Christ died and rose from the dead, he gave power for us to be called the children of God. The only way we become children of God is by being regenerated. Reborn, reactivated. God reached down into our lives and gave us a new spirit.
Yes.
Think about that. We were headed, man, I was headed on a train for hell, and the chariot of God came and got me, and I'm headed for heaven in his chariot. He came, not only did he ask me, he didn't ask me anything. He didn't ask me that I had to believe a set of rules and regulations. He didn't do that. He just said, I love you. All of that would come later because of my love for him. These things that I don't do because I love him. The things that I do because I love him. It's a love relationship. And it all happened when he formed and shaped me by the power of his death and resurrection. I got to be born again. Something that's thrown around a lot. Born again's used all kinds of ways. Hollywood talks about actors that are born again because they got a new role. Or, you know, sports talk about people being born again because they're back from a life debilitating injury and they are all of a sudden out there throwing balls around it. Born again. But they have no idea what that word means. No idea. When Jesus spoke that word first to Nicodemus, he said, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. So this regeneration, I want to talk about it this morning. I want to tear it apart. I want you and I to look at it so we can get excited not only about what Christ did for us, but what he's about to do for a generation. The harvest is truly great. 1 Peter 1, turn there with me. 1 Peter 1. It's on page 1 of my notes here. I don't know what page it is on yours. 1 Peter chapter 1. Man, I've been wanting to give this word all week. I've been so excited about this because it excited me what Christ did for me. I got new revelation on what Christ did for me. It was as great as, and I'll say it again, I'll probably say it enough times, you'll say, stop saying that. But it was as great as when God reached down and grabbed earth and pulled it together and shaped and formed man and breathed into him the breath of life. It's no different than what Christ did for me because all I was a waste of good dirt. I was an enemy of heaven. I didn't care about Christ, but he drew me anyway. 1 Peter 1:22 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, I just want you to put there just for another, because I'll chase a rabbit. I don't want to do that. So I'll let you chase rabbits later. John, if you'll cross-reference through the Word of God which lives and abides forever with John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, the Word was with us and the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Just a thought. I don't want to go there right now. Think about that. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now I want somebody to tell me what incorruptible means. Let me tell you, since I'm up here with the mic, incorruptible means it can never be destroyed.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. This isn't something that's just tenuous. This isn't something that just happened to you and I when we were born again. It's not just something that we just squeezed in. The doors of heaven will slam behind our hind parts whenever we get there. This is incorruptible seed that took us from the kingdom of darkness and set us in the kingdom of light. This is something that happened to us that changed the very core of our being. We don't look at things the way we did. We don't talk the way we did. Thank God for that. Turn over to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3. Titus 3, which is really hinging on this doctrine of regeneration. What's regeneration all about? It's just a fancy word. It's just a $600 word meaning born again. Regeneration just means born again. Or generation, regenerated. Come on, somebody. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Somebody said not.
Not.
But according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Whew. Man, you talk about... This was devised, this plan was devised before the world began. God said, how am I going to get these people into my family? I don't want them out there. I don't want to destroy them. I created them for fellowship. How am I going to get them to be just like us? I got it. I'll make them new creations. Born once, you die twice. Born twice, you die once. Come on, somebody. What happened, whether you know it or not, whether what time you got saved or who told you, but if Jesus came into your heart, you went through regeneration. It's empowered by God. You didn't have to pass any test or know anything. You just needed to know that Jesus died for your sins. The awesome power of God does what no one could ever think of doing. He makes a new creature out of a confession of faith. Whew. Jesus, come into my heart. Whatever you cried. I remember when I was down beside my bed, I said, Lord, I'm tired of running. If you can make this life new, make this life new. I'm done. And you know what? He did it. He formed man out of the dust of the earth, but He forms children out of the words of their mouth. Let me say that again. He formed man out of the dust of the earth, but He forms children out of the words of their mouth. The Bible says if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, ye shall be saved. Cross-reference, regeneration. Cross-reference, born again. So, what is the importance of that? Because there has been many in our day and age that have kind of logically came to the place where, you know, don't be so hard on people, man. Just get them in church, get them to believe in something, and then God will take... No, we've got to be directly clear when we pray with somebody, you need to be born again. Jesus didn't beat around the bush with Nicodemus. He even made him feel kind of bad. He said, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things. So this seemed, in saying that, he wasn't, Nicodemus knew what Jesus was saying. We need to know in our heart what happened. Jesus said you must be born again. It's imperative, and without it you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Rebirth is the only way to get to heaven. We don't make excuses for it. We don't say, well, you know, if you just believe, you come to church. If you, you know, if you're a good person, stop that swearing. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't go chew, and don't go with girls that do. It's much more than that. It's a change. Religion merely makes someone comfortable in their dead existence. That's all religion does. It just makes you comfortable before you really die. You're dead in your sins. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, I'd like to tell you it's okay, but it's not. You're dead in your sins. You're in danger. Ephesians 2 says, "And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." The term born again has significance in our day because without it, we wouldn't be who we are. We wouldn't be who we are without the born again experience, without the regeneration. There was no way that we'd get to heaven on any other thing. God, I've got perfect attendance. God, I wear a suit every Sunday. God, I tithe every week. God, I got water baptized 4 times. Are you listening to me this morning? The only thing that it gets us where we need to be is going through the born again experience. Everybody's got to go through that. Everybody's a new creation in Christ, or you're nothing at all. You were right where you were. The term born again is the truth. Jesus spoke it to Nicodemus. He didn't even answer him. He didn't say, "Hey, thanks for, you know, I'm a good teacher." Because he knew why Nicodemus was there. Nicodemus wasn't there to laud him with, "You're a great guy." Said, "How do I get what you got?" And if you walk around in this day and age, as this generation is waiting to see born again people, we need to let our light so shine before men that they would see our works and glorify our Father. Be who we are, born again Christians. By what means did God do this anyhow? And if we look at it, if we start to tear it apart, how is regeneration possible and how is it effective? By what means does this take place? 2 things if you're taking notes. Number one, the power of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration is mainly the work of the Holy Spirit. Just as He brooded over the earth and set upon Christ when Christ was baptized and overshadowed Mary and was the breath in Adam, so He births man anew. This is the second birth orchestrated by the Holy Ghost. Matthew 1:20, "For that which conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." The same Holy Spirit that birthed Christ rebirths us. Amen. Only the Holy Spirit could bring about regeneration. He moves on human beings who are in darkness and death and brings them to life again. While you're the same person, you became born again with a whole new life. And that's the struggle a lot of Christians go through. You want the best of both worlds. If you were serious when you prayed, "Jesus, come into my life," He took you seriously. And He took all the fun out of sin. Man, before I came to Christ, I used to have fun sinning. Don't let me out there by myself. Come on. Sin was fun. We had a good time sinning. Fed the flesh. Every Friday night, I knew I was going to lose all the time from Friday night to Monday morning. It was going to just be inebriation. Monday morning, I'd get up and go to work again. Broke as I was Thursday evening before paycheck time. Come on. But I had fun. And then Christ came into my life. And the things I tried to do that I had fun doing before, if I did, come on somebody. No fun. I mean, you just felt like a fifth wheel in a wagon. Man, I used to be comfortable in a bar. I tried going to a bar. I went into a bar one time just to get something I had to get. It was a bar. It was the only thing. I went in. I felt like I can't hang here. You're not the same person. You're not the same person. And then, and I want to be very clear, what happens in the regeneration is you want to be clean. I just knew I needed to be clean. And I felt clean, but I knew when I heard about water baptism, I knew that I needed to go under the waters of baptism. I knew that I needed to do that, not for salvation. Let me be very clear. The only thing that you need is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your Lord. That's your ticket to heaven. Oh, but if you're going to live and you're going to walk around, you need to take that step in water baptism. If you haven't, we can do that at any time. And so water baptism is something that happens to regeneration. It's the knowledge of regeneration. You're announcing to people an outward sign of an inward change. You go underneath that waters of baptism, it's really depicting what happened to you. You died with Christ and you're raised in newness, the scripture says, in newness of life. Or born again. Not only is the Holy Spirit used in that, but also the implanted word. Regeneration is both instant and a process. It's the work of sanctification in our lives. It occurs through the implanting of God's word. Every good Christian should be a student of God's Word. Got to know what's in here. Somebody said, I know the Bible from cover to cover. It's not cover to cover, it's cover to cover. Don't know it on the outside. Don't have handprints of where you carried around. But let it be dog-eared. And so that's all right, I'll get that later. So let it be something that you know. You have a knowledge of what's in this Word. It's for you. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, my friend. 1 Peter chapter 1. Again, what we just read, but I want to go back over it again. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. In verse 25, now this is the Word which by the Gospel was preached to you. God's Word penetrates our very being, planting seeds that bring forth new life. It's an instruction book for us. Now that you're born again, walk as children of God. Now that you're born again, memorize, put my word in your heart. Now that you're born again, love your brother. Now that you're born again, love your enemies. Now that you're born again, pray for those who spitefully use you. Now that you're born again, there's instruction throughout the word that we need to know. The soil of the heart determines the yield that comes forth as a result of the implanted word. It's possible to be a born again Christian and have hard soil in your heart. You're not open to the word. I'm not talking about not getting into heaven. I'm talking about having a bad time here on earth. The people that you see in your life that are walking around with smiles and saying everything is great when things are going wrong. What a testimony Danny had this morning. He said, this broke and that broke and this thing and that happened. And he's doing it with a smile. What happens within us, the implanted word tells us that no matter what we do, though we go through trials, though we go through tribulation, we're still born again. That doesn't take born again away. Yeah. It doesn't prove one way or another. Bad things happen to good people. Yeah. It's how we react to those things. Yeah. When we proclaim the word to others, we must remember that the process may take time in some. Whenever we're witnessing to somebody, don't give up on him, man. Jeremiah chapter 23 says, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Yeah. I mean, we just speak the word over people. We just remind them every chance we get. The word of God is like a rock, man. It's like a hammer that breaks rock. Amen. It may not get through now, but it doesn't mean it won't later. Yeah. God is after the souls of man. He's after to do the same thing that happened to you to them. And the only way that that's going to get out is through our witness. That's why Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses." Yes, nature says it. But we cannot, I never saw a tree, a cloud, or a star lead somebody to Christ. Are you there this morning? Never saw a rock lead somebody to Christ. Never saw a sunset lead somebody to Christ. Man, when the ungenerated person, when the sinful person looks out, before I was a Christian, I looked out, I knew that there was a creator out there. Nobody had to tell me, but that wasn't going to save me. Now we know the author of all those things. So don't lose heart. We must not lose heart in planting God's Word. He'll break through. Fire burns and a hammer breaks. It's not the force and the insistence of our personality. It's the power of God's Word. Shaking somebody's finger and somebody saying, "You're going to hell if you don't get saved." It's not what it's about. It's about sharing with somebody. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I said the same thing, but I said it because it's the Word. And the Word is like a fire and like a hammer. Somewhere in that person's life, they're going to remember. Oh, didn't that guy say? What did he say? Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Oh, God, I feel like I'm dying. Please help me. Save me. I'll do the same thing for you as I did for him. You're born again. Yeah. Woo-hoo! Come on, somebody. You must, Jesus said, be born again. You must be born again. What's the occurrence of this born again? How? What happened? And regeneration happens to the whole person. Body, soul, and spirit. God begins instantaneously to give us a new life, and then He continues to work on us. Aren't you glad of that? Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very, very particularly bothersome to me that God keeps working on me. Am I the only one? Come on. I reach a place where I say, you know, I think things are pretty good. I'm on level ground. It's okay. I can live the rest of my life like this. Then I make the mistake of reading the Word. I'm not quite there yet, God. Yeah, I know it, son. Let's work on that. Again? He's chipping away. Somebody asked Michelangelo how he made the statue David. He said, "I just chipped all the rock away until David appeared." There is a goal that God has for you in this born-again life. He said, "Let us make man in our own image and according to our own likeness." That's what He's after. I've often said people are living so long and living to be so old because God needs to work on them. We get to look more like Christ all the time. It's a process. It happens through illumination. There is a need for illumination so that there can be a comprehension of Scripture and its effectiveness on us. Number one is we apprehend the truth. The truth is, there's a devil that wants everybody to go to hell with him. We don't talk enough about that. That's left for Hollywood to talk about. We kind of let Hollywood do our dirty work. And so they glorify the devil. He looks good. He's got the horns and the things and the deal. And he's got the, you know, the Walking Dead and the zombies and the... Hollywood gives power to the devil he never had. My Bible says he doesn't have any power. My Bible says he's a wimp. My Bible says he's toothless. God took everything from him. But we don't see. We need to know he's real. We need to know that he's out to steal, to kill, and destroy. But we also need to know that he is a defeated foe.
Amen.
2 Corinthians. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 4. I've only got about another hour. Just be patient. Just patience with me. I'm serious. I won't take an hour, but I got at least another hour. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the devil's working overtime to blind the eyes of the people. His greatest tactic is to get them to believe he's just a figure that doesn't exist. He's fake, phony, fraud. And he's actually fun. Hollywood has done a good job of making Satan fun. Let me tell you, there's nothing funny about Satan. We just went through a holiday where people glorify all kinds of things that they should never touch. Halloween should never be celebrated by a Christian. I'll go on record saying that. If you're mad at me, I'm sorry. I hope it's not the unpardonable sin with you. Halloween is a despicable thing that glorifies the devil. It should never be even thought of for a Christian. We must never underestimate the power of the enemy to blind eyes and deafen ears. Satan has worked to keep people blind and deaf, and this will intensify when presented with the truth. When you tell the truth to somebody, when you talk to somebody about the truth of the gospel, the enemy is working overtime. It's like the old cartoons where the devil's standing on this shoulder and an angel standing on the other. But the devil is working overtime saying, you don't need to hear this right now. You can make up your mind later. You can do that. This is all a lie. There's no God. It's only you. He's blinded the eyes and deafened the ears of the world. So there's an apprehension of truth. You and I got to break through to the truth. You and I heard the truth maybe for the first time and we latched onto it. Because it says, now if you're still there in verse 6, watch what it says. For it is the God who commanded.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Come on. It's the God who made suggestion. Yeah. Hey, somebody should turn on a light here. No, as the scripture says, it's the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That powerful thing that happened, the enemy's trying to blind the eyes, but God has turned on the light of the kingdom.
Amen.
So we apprehend the truth. Jesus said it like this. He said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free.
Yes.
Somebody say amen quickly.
Amen.
We apprehend the truth. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Secondly, we show man his desperate plight and his need for a Savior. Jesus Christ was more interested in Nicodemus getting saved than he was receiving his applause and his pat on the back. I cringe when I see churches that, you know, we're getting lauded and patted on the back by the community. We don't want that. Oh, you guys are benevolent. You get coats for the poor. I understand that's all important. But this is serious why we exist. We exist for you. We exist for those that aren't born again. We exist. We want you to know that we're headed to heaven. We want you to come with us. We don't want a pat on the back. We want you to know if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. There's a death that needs to happen and a life that's waiting for you. We need to be bold. We need to be confident. Why? Because it's the only way. There's no other way. We must show man his desperate need. Peter, in his sermon in Acts chapter 2 to the crowds, said in verse 23, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Then he said in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Lord. Yeah. Amen.
Jesus wasn't just some, you know, every religion in the world gives Jesus something. Oh, he's a good man, he's a prophet.
Yeah.
No, Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
Jesus is God. He's not some good man. He's not some prophet. He's not somebody that we celebrate as a child at Christmas and celebrate on a cross at Easter. He's the Lord of lords and he's the King of kings. And he demands you be born again. For a person to be born again, they must first know that they are lost. You and I didn't come to Jesus Christ thinking, maybe I'll try this. We were desperate. We knew that we were dead in our sins. We came to that point, wherever it was, whether we prayed with somebody in an altar, whether we got down beside our bed, whether we were driving down the road and said, God, come into my... Whatever it was, we came to that instantaneous knowledge that we were dead in our sins and we needed a Savior. It's not going to happen any other way by anybody else. Just saying a prayer with somebody, if they can be convinced in, they can be convinced out. If you can convince somebody that this is a convenient way for them to get a fireproof card, they can be convinced out. But once you're born again, you know the truth makes you free. It's more than just acknowledging mistakes. We try to soothe people's mind. We try to make them, and it's because we have a good heart, dumb head. We want to make people feel comfortable about their sin. Oh, it's not so bad. You sin, but don't worry about it. Let's not call it sin. You made mistakes. You made a few mistakes, God, but no. You sinned. The wages of sin is death. You're going to die. I'm saving your life right now by asking you to receive Jesus Christ. I want you to, he'll come and he'll say, he'll give you a new life. This is serious business. Jesus wasn't just passing the time with Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. So it's more than acknowledging mistakes. Isn't it a mistake we made? Look, this is serious business. This is eternal life. This is something we're gonna live for the rest of eternity. We can't just pick and choose what we need, what we want to believe and what we don't believe. There's a set of rules and regulations about this whole thing. It's in the Word. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about grace that makes us free, but still has boundaries. It still has rules. You must be born again. It's a sharp recognition that sin has separated them from God and must be rectified. Ephesians 2 says that at that time you were without Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. People who don't know Jesus have no hope. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, I'd like to tell you you got hope, but you ain't got no hope. About the only hope you can have is the coffin that they put you in is comfortable. Me, I don't care what they do with my body.
That's right.
Whatever they do with my body, Jesus will be able to find it whenever he comes and gives me my new body. Burn it. I don't care what you do with it. It's just convenient. It helps me out. It helps me get around. Awkward as it is. People are blinded by the enemy and have no knowledge that the way of the world is destruction. We have to tell them. The Word of God is clear of man's position before and after salvation, and we must present it clearly. We get all weird about stuff. We get all new age about it. We get all, oh, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to hurt your feelings. Man, oh, what are you talking about? They're going to die without Christ. If you present the truth, God can clearly draw them with the truth. If you present a half-truth, nothing happens. There are two great temptations that we face in sharing the Word with unbelievers. Hear me very clearly. Number one, a harsh, condemning presentation that includes the burning in hell. Y'all are going to burn in hell if you don't get saved. And let me tell you, that fire is hot. It's hot. Get away from it. I can smell the smoke of hell on you right now. Glory to God, that's not cigarettes, that's hell. Hell. You're not going to get anybody saved that way. They're going to pray with you just so you get out of their face. The other temptation is an easy say a prayer and you're void of conviction prayer of salvation. You made a mistake. Let's pray. Hopefully God will accept you. Here's the Bible. No, man, we present it clearly as the gospel. Jesus could have said, listen, he could have said anything to Nicodemus. He said in his conversation, you're a teacher of Israel. I'm not talking to some small guy. When you were 12 years old, you went to rabbinical school. You've been trained. You're part of the Sanhedrin. You're one of the leaders of Israel, and you don't know this thing. You must be born again. And we tried to hedge it. We tried to change it. We tried to make it more modern. We tried to be more relevant. We tried to say something else. But it's always the same. It comes back to the same thing. God didn't change the mode of operation. He births people again in Him. The realization of being lost is intensified with the Word being shared. Let the Word of God do its work. Let the Word of God do what it's going to do. The Word of God works, man. It's worked for thousands of years. It will continue to work. It doesn't need an overhaul. It doesn't need to be said in modern English. Although I, like the translations and you can read it and I understand all that. It's still the Word of God. King James, ye must be born again. That's the Word of God. And it's alive and it goes somewhere down in that person's soul. And it will not leave them go until they say, Jesus, come into my heart. Amen. 10 more minutes? You all right? Conviction is part of the process. For regeneration to take place, there must be conviction of sin. It is work of the Holy Spirit to cause his guilt to be activated and a knowledge of sin. I know I'm a sinner. If we can't agree on that, we can't go any further. If we can't agree that you're a sinner, if we can't agree when you're witnessing to somebody and say, you're a sinner, don't call me a sinner, I'm not a sinner. Yes, you are. You committed sin, you're a sinner. But it's okay. It's okay, you're a sinner. But Christ came to die for sinners.
Yes.
When the people heard Peter's message, and if you go through Acts chapter 2, it wasn't a nice message. I didn't think Peter stood up there and smiled at everybody. It was a strong message he preached. You know what they did? They came to him, were cut to the heart. Yeah. Bible says they were cut to the heart. You ever heard a message that cut you to the heart?
Yeah.
And asked Peter what they should do. Peter said, repent. Go over to the side here and James and John will talk to you about your mistakes. Over on this side, we'll have, Bartholomew and Matthew, they'll talk to you about. No, what did he say? Repent. The conviction is deep within the heart of man. His dead spirit begins to react by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the recognition of the need comes to the surface. This is more than just a feeling of misery or remorse. Many people feel that way and are never saved. People feel bad and they're remorseful. I got my hands caught in the cookie jar. I won't let it happen again. Till the next batch of cookies is made. 2 Corinthians 7, this is very important. I'm headed home, I promise you, I'm closing. This is very important. This scripture is very important. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ and you say, man, you're hammering on me. Listen, it's the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians 7. It's something you need to underline and dog ear if you're sharing with anybody. 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? Godly sorrow produces repentance. And that's all. That's the key word. That's like abracadabra. That's like zippity-zam. That's like, God, I repent. God says, I'm there. Because repentance means what? To turn the other direction, go the other way.
Yeah.
But the sorrow of the world produces death, it says. Are you listening? For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. That there, my friend, is religion. Only the Spirit can bring this about. It is a work of God. Trying to do that ourselves will only bring confusion and condemnation. We present the Word, let the Holy Ghost do what He's going to do. The first reaction you get from somebody is, maybe what I'm getting today. Man, you've got a lot of guts talking to me like that. But That's all right. While they're all angry and stuff, the Word of God is like water, man. It just runs through all the cracks in that thing. And just later on, that person is in the middle of nowhere, minding his own business, and the Holy Ghost just goes, "I'm a sinner. I need saved. Rick was right. Oh God." This conviction of sin brings about a profound internal change. Once the Holy Spirit breaks through and knowledge received, a change occurs that cannot happen without this process. It's the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. It's Him making us new. The Holy Spirit cuts into the hard heart, and there's a profound conviction of sin. And lastly, there's repentance. The end of this process, and what we're getting people to do, is repent. Repent, turn the other way, go the other direction. Repent, says, "I'm done with sin, I'm walking away from it." Repentance, to confess your sins and turn completely away from them, going in the opposite direction. This is a gift from God. God grants us the act of repentance. He grants us repentance that ushers in the new life, sanctioned by God. "God, I repent of my sins." He said, "I'm there. I'm going to breathe into you the breath of life. I'm going to make you a new creation. No longer are you the old person. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new again. Welcome to my family. Welcome to my family. Welcome to my family. Now you're a new creation. Now it's no longer what you used to be or what you used to do. That is all dead and gone. I've created something new. Welcome to my family." Oh, and it's new. Everything is new. Everything is new again. There is such a turning away and a uniting to Him that the person is completely changed from within. Every time I think about a change in somebody's life, I think of Deborah. Deborah came to us. I was pastoring. And she came to us. She was a heroin addict for 20 years. And she fed her habit by being a prostitute. Not a tooth in her head. Heroin had lost all the teeth in her mouth. She could imagine what shape she's in when she came to church the first time. She even knows she was in church. She's just coming down off a couple days high. We got a chance to witness to her. We didn't tell her everything was okay. We told her, "You're going to die. And when you die, you're going to hell. You need to repent of your ways." What got her into that life was inner healing and things that needed to take place. That took place later. What she needed to know is, man, you are headed to hell and God wants to save you. Come on, somebody. So we prayed for her and she said the prayer and, man, we spent hours in deliverance. Hours in deliverance with her. She had so much company. There was a no vacancy sign on her forehead. She was a mess. Well, she got somebody talked into getting her a new set of choppers. She got a new set of choppers, man. Some of the ladies in the church gave her some clothes. She started coming to church. And every Sunday I'd see her. I'd see her on Wednesdays. I'd see her at church function. And her hair was red. And it got redder. I don't know if she used something that ladies were doing something with her. She was a new creation, man. She was a new creature. You talk to her, she just bubbled over with the love of Jesus. She just said, "Man, I can't." She cried. She said, "You just talk with her. You'd talk with her over a muffin, for Pete's sake. She'd be crying. What are you crying about? I never knew life could be like it is. I never knew God could love me like He does." You would have conversations with her. You just want to have a normal conversation. She'd be talking about the love of Jesus. She witnessed to everybody. It didn't matter who it was. She had a grocery store on the street. She said, "I can't believe where I used to be and what Jesus did for me." She struggled. She had her faults. She fell down. She got back up. She wasn't perfect, but she never went back to heroin again. And she didn't go through any step program or anything like that. Jesus delivered.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Jesus delivered. So she said, she came to Terry and I. She said, "I want to go to school." Now she's 42 years old. Said, "I missed 20 years of my life being on heroin." She said, "I want to go back to school. I want to I want to be a social worker. We prayed with her. We said, you can do this, man. Listen, when I first met her, she couldn't talk a sentence. She had to get her GED. She didn't finish school. Her first semester in college, she was on the dean's list. If I'd show you a picture of Deborah before and after, you'd say, you're a liar. It's not the same person. That's what born again means.
Amen.
That's what born. She was born again by the power of God. She was thrown away by programs. She went to programs. She went to welfare. She had doctors. She had caseworkers. She had all kinds of things. This woman is not. She just will never change. She'll never change. One person told me, she'll never change. She's always been the same. We gave her a set of teeth. She threw them away. But Jesus came in and changed her life. All she did was say, help. God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. He breathed into her life. Father, I prayed this morning. Lord, I know I've probably said too much. I've taken too long. But God, I pray. Father, for that person out there. Lord, that may be here this morning, may listen some other time. But I pray that they would know the same grace and mercy that you showed me. If you're here today and you say, I'm not sure if I died right now, I'm not 100% sure I go to heaven. I want you to know that you can be sure this morning. If that's you and you say, you know, I just want you to pray with me. I'm sensing the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm sensing that. I get it. Now just pray with me. I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you to receive Jesus. You say, I want to know where I'm going when I die. Anyone. Promise I won't embarrass you. Just slip your hand up. Father, thank you for what you did for us. We're so grateful, God, that you've given us a new life, God. Thank you, Lord, that, Father, put it on our hearts now to share the good news with others, God. Just as you did, Jesus, on that night with Nicodemus. Help us to speak the word boldly and confidently in you. Tell people you must be born again. I pray blessing on each and every one. Lord, would you meet their need according to your riches and glory in Christ. This I pray in Jesus' name.